Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whenever or wherever you're watching or listening. This is the Osmo NHL DFS Strategy Show, and I'm your host, Michael Clifford, a.k.a. Slim Cliffy. Joining me for the next hour to talk about just what the hell happened last night is our single-entry assassin, Mr. Joshua Harris. Josh, how you doing today, buddy?
Not too bad. If you went into our chat last night around 7:30, you'd think the world was on fire. You know, everyone tilting, missed shots, this and that. Dropping like stones because Noah Gregor scored. Relax. Everyone just needs to relax. You know, like, I understand you guys have a lot of money on the line. A lot of money on the line, and that's fine. But if you tilt like that on every shot attempt of a game you're watching, you're not going to make it to see 40 years old. Relax.
One, I know, you know, I typically don't play, you know, for thousands of dollars every night. I'm usually in the $100, $200 range, something like that. I'm not playing as much as some other people. One thing I have learned is that unless I see some injury news pop up in warmups, like as the games start rolling, I just don't even check my lineups. Like, there's no reason to, like, unless there's an injury, unless there's something changing, I've never seen a reason to check my lineups. And I find it's very tilting when I do. I don't want to check it 30 minutes into the slate and then 45 minutes into the slate. I think if there's one piece of advice I could impart from today that everybody should take, it's that, honestly, if, for your own sanity's sake, don't check your lineups like every 10 minutes once puck drop starts. It's just, there's no possible good that can come from it.
You know who you have. So, like, you're going to have an idea anyway. You just don't want to see your dollar figures going in roller coasters. It's just bad for your mental health. You know, go for a walk in the brisk weather, cool off, do what you got to do, watch a movie, cook some dinner. I don't know what we do nowadays, you know, yell at your neighbors. I don't know. Like, just try not to, I don't know. I don't really watch my lineups too much. The other night I logged in by accident and I saw I was winning everything and then I fell off a cliff. So I wanted to, you know, scream internally, but like, that's why I just don't log in. I just, you know, the early games end, I have an idea where I'm at. So I log in to see where I'm at, see who I'm fading, see who I'm, you know, who I need, this and that. But like, checking every 3 minutes or every 2 minutes, every 10 minutes is just, you know, you're going to give yourself a headache.
Yeah, it is. It is really. Just one way to ruin the hockey watching experience at night too. I didn't see anybody bink last night in the chat unless I missed something. I did see a bunch of people go like 3x and 5x and things like that, which is always good to see. You like to win money more than you lose money. I had a decent night last night. My best single entry night since Christmas, went about 10x, had Chicago and Colorado 2. What happened was I had old San Jose one and some Toronto power play pieces in a stack. And then, you know, we got the new Washington line. So then I just completely changed up everything. And I, cause there was nothing I could fit with the new line that I wanted. So I ended up on Chicago and Colorado 2. with Mšlikins and Werenski. Now, if I had gone Seth Jones over Werenski, not sure that I would have, you know, slaughtered the slate, but I would have done considerably better, much better than 10X. But Korpisalo, man, I wrote about it in my season-long article this morning. First time that I could find in NHL history where a goalie allowed 6 goals and had a save percentage over 900. He saved 56 of 62 shots last night against Calgary. No surprise he's got the night off tonight. What'd you think of that game, Josh?
Yeah, that was a Calgary franchise record for shots on goals too. So like, it's insane. Like, he had almost 22 DK points despite giving up 6 goals. Like, I don't think we'll see that performance, that type of performance ever again. It kind of reminds me of that Korpisalo playoff performance against Tampa Bay, but I don't think he gave up 6 goals. I think it was only like 2. And when he had like 80 something saves, it's yes, something with Columbus, maybe play defense. I don't know.
Just once in a while, throw in some defense. It sure can't hurt. Congrats to anybody that did make us some money last night. Let's hope we can make a bunch more money here tonight. We are brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy. They have been our sponsor all season long. They are the sponsor for this show. They've been very good to us, so let's be good to them. If you want to dip your toes in DFS, no better way to do it than with Yahoo Fantasy. We have a special giveaway for first-time Yahoo players a little bit later in the show. If you guys could, I see about 75 people in the chat. Throw us a thumbs up. Those thumbs up, those likes really help us. Click the subscribe button. The road to 420,000 subscribers marches on. And be sure to click that bell to get the alerts when we do go live. Free premium tools and data up on the site today. We have NBA player projections and our NHL player projections, both live up on osmo.com. So if you want to, whether you're playing NBA tonight, whether you're playing NHL tonight, I assume you're playing NHL tonight if you're watching this show. If you're not a subscriber, head on over to osmo.com, check out our projections, see if you like what you see. You may want to subscribe after that. All right, we got a huge 10-game slate ahead of us, so let's just jump right into these games, Josh. Our first one is Anaheim with a 3.1 total going into Montreal. The Habs have a 2.5 implied goal total. Anaheim, they played last night. They were in Toronto. I assume that they're going to have Anthony Stolar starting. He's confirmed right now. Likely against Caden Primo on the Montreal side. Anaheim changed up a bunch of their lines last night. I don't know how much we can really rely on four line combinations. Montreal looks to be chalky here tonight. And I was mentioning before the show, in like 3 weeks, we've gone from Montreal's rostering 3 legitimate NHL players to Montreal 1 is chalk tonight. I don't know how we got here, Josh. Why don't you take us through this game?
Yeah, I mean, Toffoli being back is a big thing. Lekkonen with line mates, still men priced as a thing. There's a lot of cheap lines in that price range tonight. So, like, if they're going to be chalky, right now we have them at 7, 8, 9%, which, like, on a 10-game slate, I don't want to play a filler line, especially in a 2.5 total at home at that ownership, especially when, you know, there's other lines in better matchups with better totals for similar price that I'd rather play. Now, if you want to play Montreal 1, like, listen, like, this is the first time they've been together in a good matchup. I mean, it's not a great matchup. Like, they're going to get Getzlaf, Terry Zegras, who have pretty good numbers together. It's a small sample. It's not Gibson, but like, Stolarz has been very good this season. It's not a, I mean, it is a big drop off from Gibson, who's one of the best goalies in the NHL, but it's not like going from Igor to Georgiev, which we'll talk about later. You know, Stolarz can handle himself here. It's the Ducks who I'm interested in. They have a 3.1 total, and I know they're back to back on the road. And it's not the Getzlaf. Like, if you want to play the Getzlaf, Zegers, Terry line, I think that's fine. But their ownership going against the Suzuki line is about the same here. I'm actually interested if it is a line, because the Ducks mix up their lines. You're probably not going to get pregame news until, like, warmups. If it is Lundestrom, Raquel, Silverberg, they're going to be getting Rem Pitlick, Jake Evans, and Josh Anderson. And that line is
going to be bad.
Going to be bad. Like, they are just wildly high event, giving up a ton of high danger chances. And that right now, that Raquel line, if it is as it is coming in around 4%. Lundstrom isn't on the power play. I don't think you need a full stack. If you want to do like a two-man Raquel Silfverberg for 8,200, I think that's perfectly fine. So if you want to play Montreal one or Anaheim one, I think that's fine. I'm interested in that Raquel Silfverberg line. If Dvorak's in, I don't think we have definitive news if he's in or out.
No, he's out. I think it's Lucas Bedamo's going in for him or something like that.
Okay, because I would have had interest in Dvorak Hoffman going into like Steele Comtois, but as a pivot off that Suzuki Toffoli chalk. But yeah, so either top line is fine, but I think, you know, for me, I'm going to try to get in some Silfverberg and Raquel if they are in fact together.
Yeah, it's just what the lines are going to be, because Getzlaff and Terry did start the game last night with Trevor Zegras, but then Zegras was moved off that line and Ricard Raquel was moved on. So it's just a matter of what we see in warmups. I will say Troy Terry had his best success this year earlier in the season playing with Ryan Getzlaff. He wasn't playing with Trevor Zegras. That's not where he had his success. So Getzlaff and Terry actually were pretty good by process, like a 54% line when they're on the ice. So I could see Getzlaff and Terry being a nice two-man here, because assuming, you know, they're a second line and then, you know, something like Zegras and Raquel are a top line, I assume Zegras gets the tough matchups, but I don't even know if the matchups matter, because I was looking at some of the Montreal numbers, even the new top line, like better offensively than what we've seen from most Montreal lines, but still giving it up defensively. So I really do like Getzlaff and Terry, assuming they're a line here. On the blue line, aren't really a number of guys that are sticking out to me. I know you've talked about Hampus Lindholm in recent games, but he's getting up to 5K on the road. I find that a little bit expensive. What do you think here, Josh?
Yeah, it's a little bit too much for me. Like, even Shattenkirk's up for – he was 3,300 yesterday. Now he's 4K. Like, I just don't know if I'm going to punt any of these guys on the Montreal side. Like, I wish it wasn't Chris Weidman on the top power play. Like, if you're using Montreal 1 and getting more power play and you can put in, like, Ben Sherratt, like, that would even make me feel pretty good. But, like, Chris Weidman does nothing for me. If you want to punt David Savard, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think Ben Sherratt maybe, because he could actually do something offensively. I don't know if there's enough shots coming tonight to get the block bonus. You know what I mean? That's my only concern. I see some super chats. Thank you very much for the first super chat. Abel Ramos says, Slim and Josh in the afternoon, $5 super chat. Really appreciate that. Played Josh Stack of Calgary in single entry and almost held, and then Chicago happened. I'd say, yeah, like, it's Chicago, it's 8-5 last night. Like, 13 goals. No one saw that coming. Like, I used Chicago. I was hoping, like, maybe you could get 3 or 4 out of them. Obviously, 8. Like, they might not score 8 goals again this season.
But that was the problem with the Calgary Josh stack, right? Because you're going to use Sean Monahan because his power play one and he's 3K. And he rang one off the pipe and finished with, like, 3 DK points. Dylan Strome, also 3K, almost 50 DK points. So, like,
yeah,
like, unfortunately, like, if Monahan scored that goal, maybe you had a shot to hold. But, like, as a player at the same price, Hattying, like, you're just in trouble there. Yeah.
I think it was actually even a 4-point game, like 3 goals and an assist or something like that.
I think he had 49.5 DK points, something ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely needed Chicago. It was, I mean, the Josh stack was a good idea. You know, it's just, you know, Chicago'd and Detroit'd. Matt Niehaus, a $5 super chat as well. Thank you very much, Niehaus. He says, are you saying that it's Ricky Racks season tonight? If Ricky Racks is playing with Getzlaff and Terry, I could get behind it. That's pretty much all I would get behind here tonight. What do you think?
Really depends on the line combinations. Yeah. Like, if he's with someone, you know, on the power play, I think he can. Really depends, like, because if, you know, if he's with Zegras, he's going to see the tough matchup, but it doesn't really matter. If he's with Silfverberg, like, they're going to get depth matchups of Montreal, which is even more. So, like, I don't mind him at all, assuming he's with competent line mates.
Yeah, that's true. That's the big part. Let's see what the lines look like. All right, let's get this next game. Carolina, 3.8 implied goal total. They're going into Ottawa. The Sens have a 2.6 implied goal total. Obviously, Drake Batherson out. Aaron Dell gave him a little shoulder check, and Batherson wrecked his ankle. Looks like he's going to be out a couple months at least. They've moved Tyler Ennis to that line. That's kind of interesting considering Ennis had a hat trick in his last game. And it seems like Ennis once in a while just pops out of nowhere and has a stretch where he'll have like 11 points in eight games. And then he won't do anything for a month after that. Like, that's just kind of the way, like, he's a skilled player. That's just kind of the way it seems to go with him. Carolina, obviously with that monster total, probably should draw a fair amount of ownership here tonight. But then I look at least at our first top stacks run and the top line is coming in with positive leverage. I think that's probably going to come up a lot through the day because a 3.8 total, people aren't going to stay away from it. Second line over leveraged. I don't know if I'm going to be in on the Ottawa side here, Josh. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be on Ottawa either. And I know DJ Smith is watching. So can we give Adam Gaudette a run on the top line? Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I think Gaudette did get some time with the second line in the last game, but obviously it's going to be Ennis there tonight. So
I want to see Adam Gaudette get a run with Tkachuk and Norris just because Sanford, we kind of know what Sanford is at this point. Like, Adam Gaudette needs like a fair shot in the top six to really know who he is. But anyway, that was, you know, just looking out for my boys. But I don't think I'm going to be on the Senators tonight. This is a Carolina game for me. They have a 3.8 total on the road. They're probably going to be facing 78-year-old Matt Murray. I can't get over that picture. Like, I know I said about it yesterday. It is one of the most ridiculous pictures I've ever seen. Like, he just looks like he's been through the ringer. But anyway, I really like both top six lines here. Again, it's a matter of personal preference. It looks like the second line is coming in a bit overowned, which is fine. Like, it's not like devastatingly overowned. They're coming in at 6%, which is fine. But that top line is coming in half the ownership here. The matchup isn't really much of a concern who they're getting matched up with here. So I think going to Teravainen and Aho's Jarvis is my preferred to Svechnikov, Trocheck, Netches. If you want to go to that second line, they have great numbers as well, but I'm going to look for the lower ownership in a huge total, and that's the top line.
Yeah, the one thing I'd worry about with the top line is, like, I think that's probably going to come up through the day. The Sebastian Aho thing, there's a Sebastian Aho that plays for the Islanders.
Right, that Islanders have a game tonight too.
Yeah, and whenever the two teams are on the same slate, sometimes it can mess up projections and ownership and things like that. So I think that Aho 3% top line is probably going to come up. I think it's probably going to be more in line with the second line. Like, you'll probably see both of them, you know, in that 6 to 10%, 8 to 10% range even. I think what I might do with Carolina is power play stack. Ottawa's penalty kill, it's been a roller coaster for them. It was really bad for a couple months and it started to right itself. And now it's just falling apart again in January. And Carolina, like, you can mix and match like Aho and Trocheck with D'Angelo, or you can do whatever you want with that power play. I think taking advantage of a very bad Ottawa penalty kill and is one way to get different here. Also, the Carolina top line doesn't really have great numbers together with Teravainen and Jarvis there. Like, they're good, don't get me wrong. It's still a Carolina line. They've been great this season, but it's not quite super elite. So I think it'd be Carolina 2 or Carolina power play. On the blue line, Lassie Thompson jumped up to the top pair with Thomas Chabot. So, like, I'm not even sure how much somebody like Artem Zub might play tonight. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I'm pretty much out on the Senators' blue line. I mean, if you're down to your last spot and you have 6K on DK, Chabot is fine. But on the Carolina side, like, Tony DeAngelo, it's 6,100. I just don't know. Like, I think if I was MMEing, I'd just make a rule to put him in with Carolina one or two or power play stacks. I don't know if I'd one off him. Like, he could get there, but there, you know, I'd rather pay up for like the Letangs of the world and those guys. So I'd probably just stick him in my Carolina stacks. Jacob Slavin, I think, is a fine one off if you're in that mid range for a defenseman. And that's where there isn't much puntable after that.
Yeah, there's no real punts, and I think I'd rather just take the minutes with Slavin if I'm not power play stacking. I agree with that. All right, let's move to this next game. New Jersey, 2.3 implied goal total. They're going into Tampa Bay. The Bolts have a 4.1 implied goal total. Now, this is without Nikita Kucherov. He's on the COVID list. I get it. New Jersey, not a great team. Starting John Gillies, Tampa is a juggernaut. But for a four total, that seems pretty high without Kucherov. And I'm wondering if you like, we're not really seeing much ownership on them. I'm looking at the top line coming in at what, 5%? 8%, sorry. It's not really that high. What do you think about this game, Josh?
Yeah, the second line is getting some pretty big ownership. Right now we have Stamkos at 18%, Kalorn at 14%. I guess it's just, you know, they're a little bit cheaper than Palat and Point. But for me, like I don't think the total should be that high, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the Lightning hung 5 or 6 goals tonight. You know what I mean? Like, the Devils have it, one of or two AHL goalies tonight. Could be Gillies, it could be Smead, who didn't even last a third of the game last time. For me, on the Tampa side, like, it's power play, stack or bust. Like, I know the Devils have a good penalty kill, but it's not Blackwood net. Like, it's an AHL goalie, so power play or bust for me on the Tampa side. Like, I don't know if I want to full stack anything. Like, I guess you could full stack that second line if you need, because Joseph's there at min price, but like, I don't want to play min price 10% Matthias Joseph, Matty Joseph, whatever his name is. So for me, I'm going to power play stack here. Like, you can get them.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In with Hedman, it's not crazy expensive like trying to power play stack Colorado. It's not cheap, but there is plenty of value on the slate. This is, the Devils do take a ton of penalties. Their penalty kill has been good, but again, it's not Blackwood in that. So I think power play stacking the Bolts makes some sense here. On the Devils side, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get too much here. Like, if anything, it'd be Hughes and Bratt, but I feel like they're a bit overpriced for being on the road against the Lightning with a 2.3 total.
Yeah, I think New Jersey's Kishir line might be in play here. And I say that for this reason. I assume the Tampa top line with Cerulean Point is going to take the Hughes line. And that would just take Hughes like completely out of play for me. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I got the mixed and matched wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Even without Kucherov, that top line is like 57% of the shots, 57% of the scoring chances, plus at home. Like, I think that's a good matchup. But the second line, Tatar, Hischier, Zacha, 62% shot share in 120 minutes together. Like, they've been really good. Even the expected goals are lower, but it's still like 54-55%. And that Tampa second line without, no Point, no Cirelli, no, none of their good defensive players, Steven Stamkos at center. Like, I think New Jersey too, like you talked about the cheap fillers. I think New Jersey too is one of those super cheap fillers that you can use for your super expensive stacks that we'll talk about a little bit later, like an Edmonton power play or something like that. That'd be the only situation that I'm playing New Jersey tonight. Otherwise, it's a Tampa top line game for me here. I agree with you on the power play, Tampa top line, Tampa power play, whatever you want to do. On the blue line, Mikhail Sergachev has been playing 24 and a half minutes over his last 5 games. I find that's a lot for a team with a total over 4. Kind of like Sergachev. What else do you like?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to power play stack, Hedman makes some sense. Like, you look at the Tampa defensemen, Hedman, Foot, McDonough, Sergachev, Claesson, Ruda. Like, they're going to give Hedman, McDonough, and Sergachev the minutes, and they're just going to rotate Foot, Claesson, and Ruda in for 12, 13 minutes. So Sergachev, 4,100, secondary power play time, huge minutes. I'm in on that. If you can't get there, McDonough's fine. On the Devil side, Jonas Siegenthaler down to 2,600. He hasn't been doing much lately, but he could be pretty busy blocking some shots tonight. I don't mind that. Severson at 4,100 is okay, which he was a bit cheaper, but that's really about it.
Yep. That sounds good to me. Get access to all the great Osmo Plus tools and content for nearly every DFS sport out there with an Osmo Plus weekly pass for $29.95. This includes full access to all the premium content and tools on Osmo.com, including player projections, ownership projections, top stacks, our lineup builder, and a whole lot more. Of course, if you're only looking to play NHL DFS, then you can sign up for one of our Osmo Plus NHL packages for as low as $3.95 a week. Please note that the Fantasy Cruncher is an add-on and can be easily added to any of these packages at checkout, but it is not included in our base packages, though it is certainly a very valuable addition. Stop guessing, start winning, join Osmo Plus today. All right, let's get to this next game. This one is an absolute dandy. Vegas, 3.0 implied goal total. They're going into Florida. The Florida Panthers have a 3.7 implied goal total. All right. Vegas has been carrying Max Pacioretty on this trip the entire time, and he's expected to play on this trip at some point. Not saying that he's going to be back tonight, just saying keep an eye out for warmups. Second, Florida is playing their fifth game in 8 nights, and their previous 4 games was a West Coast trip in Canada. They're coming off 4-6 on a West Coast trip and having to fly from the West to Florida for a game tonight. I don't know, man. Like, Vegas, with Mark Stone back, they have most of their defensemen. Robin Leonard's in net. I think this might be a case where I'm playing 20 max tonight. Even 20 max, you have to make some cuts. I think Florida might be one of my cuts here tonight. What do you think about this game?
Yeah. First of all, at 6:30, if we get news that Pacioretty's on the ice, I'm full sending Vegas one tonight. Like, it's just going to happen. 5-8, Spencer Knight. The Lions are kind of messed up. Like, Maxime Mannin on the top line doesn't really do too much for me with Barkov and Verhaeghe. So, you know, Chandler Stevenson's only 4,500. Stone's 5,200. I don't know what Pacioretty is tonight, but even if he is 7K, like, that line's still pretty cheap. I do worry he's been out for a while, but, you know, that is one of the elite lines. And if we don't get news until warmups, like, it's going to be a very low owned threesome in a team that's tired coming from the West Coast of Canada. It's not like they're coming from Arizona, like, coming from wherever they were, Vancouver. I don't even know where they were, but like Edmonton or Vancouver, that's a long flight. So as it stands, like, I still do like Vegas one here. Like, Dadonov on the top power play, 3,500. For me, I agree with you. Like, it's a 3.7 total for the Panthers, but I don't think they're going to be in consideration for me in 1-3. If anything, like, I'm going to sound like broken record, maybe Florida 2, but just from an ownership standpoint, like, I'm not super thrilled about playing them 5-8. This is, you know, the first game home after a long road trip, but they are coming in around 2%. So if I were to use Florida, it would be that second line just because of an ownership thing. But for me, I really do like Vegas one. I like Vegas one a lot more if Pacioretty's in. If you're looking to get, you know, an expensive power play stack in, I even don't mind, like, Roy Janmark, 2-man, 6,100, getting the third line of Florida, which is pretty poor defensively. So I'm on the Vegas side in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. If somebody wants to play Florida, I agree with you on that ownership front. Like, if you're going to give me the second line at 2%, 3%, like, I will probably end up playing them. It's just, I worry that ownership is going to come up through the day because this is just such a huge total. It's the third highest total, I think, on the slate. I have a hard time believing they're going to come in at 2% at home. You know what I mean? So I agree with you. Florida 2 would be the attack here. Max Manman, I was looking at some of the game logs. His last game log, he played like 9 minutes. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, I think he had 2 shifts in the third period or something like that. Like, they just don't play him when it gets crunch time. He's just there, you know, just to take up a roster spot, basically. So Florida 2, I think, is fine. but I will be looking more towards the Vegas side. I do like the Stevenson Dodonov Stone line. They are coming in fairly cheap, but we will have to see what's going on with Pacioretty. So for now, it'd be Vegas 1, Florida 2. On the blue line, I don't know if there's anybody that sticks out to you. Brandon Montour's price, still reasonable at 3,700. He's playing a lot more minutes of late. I do like Montour. What do you think?
I think Gustav Forsling's back tonight, and he's only 3K, so that's interesting for me. Other than that, like on the Vegas side, outside of the expensive guys, I don't think I want to play anybody. And again, we have to see because Alec Martinez also on this trip. So eventually these guys, like if they're on the trip, one of these games they're gonna play.
They have to play eventually. If these guys were playing, they were going to leave them at home for this road trip. Yeah. That's how this goes.
Yeah. So we have to see. But for now, it's Theodore Pietrangelo.
Theodore's been playing a lot more minutes of late as well, so I think he makes a perfectly nice option. All right, let's get to this next game. Los Angeles Kings, 2.4 implied goal total. They're going into New York to face the Islanders. The Islanders have a 2.8 implied goal total. The surprise last game was that the Islanders changed up their lines right at warm-up. They split apart Barzal and Anders Lee, and they – like that didn't last the entire game. Like obviously they eventually moved Barzal and Lee back to the same line, but that worries me for stacking the Islanders now, because splitting Barzal and Lee was not something we had really seen like ever that I can remember, other than, you know, once in a while. Like if this is something that we genuinely have to worry about now, then I'm not racing out to stack a 2.8 total team at home in what I think is a relatively tough matchup, because both Kings top lines have been playing pretty well. What do you think here, Josh?
Yeah. And, you know, the Islanders top line sees some bottom six matchups here. So, like, it is a bit worrisome that Barry's just like, we're gonna go searching. Because, like, I kind of had interest in Barzal Lee going up against, you know, Byfield, Dustin Brown, and probably now Andres Anthonyosiu, who is arguably the worst defensive forward in the history of the NHL. So, like, he's just the guy from the Mighty Ducks who can't stop. Like, he's just fast. That's what he is. He's a good offense player, terrible defense player. So, like, in theory, I have interest in Barzal Lee Bailey, if that's the line. But we just don't know with Barry anymore. Like, I'm going to assume they're going to be together. But, like, in one lineup, like I normally play, like, I can't count on it. I'm not going to build like it's going to be. So, it's going to be tough for me to get to the Islanders here. I have interest in the Kings side. Like, their top two lines are so cheap, and the Islanders haven't been great defensively. That top line, or excuse me, the second line, Arvidsson, Danault, Moore, who still have over a 4 expected goals, 4 per 60, still, they are $10,100 to full stack on DraftKings. Probably going to get Brock Nelson, Anthony Beauvillier, Kiefer Bellows, if that's the line. Like, I really like LA2 here. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really like LA2 because they're super cheap. But then you go LA1, and they're $13,300 to full stack, fully correlated on the top power play. So, like, I know the total's low at 2.4, but so is the Montreal total at 2.5 at home. And people are like, let's play Montreal one.
That's a good
like,
point.
Why not play the $10,100 line with a 4 expected goals total in a large sample? What am I missing here? So like, I like the Kings top six here. In theory, I like the Islanders top line. We just got to wait for lines on the Islanders.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Kings second line. I'm glad you mentioned them because they are one of my favorite fillers. Like, they've been a favorite filler of ours like the entire season, and they're still a favorite filler of mine here tonight. They are in that mix, like, for the super expensive stacks that you're, or cheap stacks that you're going to need for the super expensive stacks later on. Like, we talked about Anaheim, you brought up Montreal one, the Islanders have a line that's in there as well, Columbus. Like, these are all lines that could come in. Some of them are going to come in 4, 5, 6%. If you're going to say this one's going to come in at 1 or 2%, then I'll take that, knowing like they've been excellent this year. So I agree with you. Los Angeles too is the only thing I like out of this game. I could get behind something like a Barzal Lee Bailey If we knew that's what it was going to be, that was the line in the third period last night, but it wasn't the line in the first period, and it wasn't the line for half the second period. Like, that's the problem here. So I could get, like I said, I could get behind that line if it's a line that we know for sure. So right now, Kings 2 for me, in goal. First I'll start on the blue line. Noah Dobson's price jumped way back up to 5,700. I think that's too much. But Drew Doughty all the way down to 4,500. I think that's a pretty good price for him. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe I'm just crazy, but I'd rather play Drew Doughty at 4,500 than Tony DeAngelo at 6,100. So, like, Doughty is perfectly fine as a one-off at that price. If you're going to put him in with Kings 1, I think that's fine. Olimata, one of my favorites at mid-price for a punt. On the Islander side, nothing really. Maybe, you know, Pelich or Mayfield, but Dobson a little out of my range for me.
I like Sorokin and net in this one. Do you?
Yeah, I just...
He's 7,500 at home.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, I just...
If he was 8,100, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah. I think he's a good price play here. I also don't mind Calvin Peterson. Like, both these goalies are in play for me.
Yep. All right. We have partnered with Yahoo Fantasy this NHL season to bring you some great offers. Check out our exclusive limited time offer, which gets you one free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. To qualify, you need to be new to Yahoo. Sign up for an account via the link below, deposit and play, and that's it. Yahoo will send us your name after you've played in your first paid contest, and we will reach out via email with your coupon. If you'd like to speed up the process of getting access, please email support@osmo.com and we'll get you set up right away. You can also claim a free $10 of site credit by clicking the link in the video description below, and that can be used to enter any Yahoo contest, including tonight's $5,000 NHL baller and the NFL $500,000 Sunday baller. Be sure to use our DFS tools and projections designed specifically for Yahoo to give yourself the best shot at winning big. All right, we got five games left to get through. Let's get through these games. Thank you very much, Yahoo, for being our very generous sponsor. Seattle, 2.2 implied goal total. They're going into Pittsburgh. The Penguins have a 3.9 implied goal total. The only thing I'll mention here is the Penguins had an optional skate this morning. Evgeny Malkin hopped on the ice and then hopped off very quickly. Maybe it's just testing out equipment, testing out something new. We don't really know. Just watch out for any update on Evgeny Malkin. I imagine I know what you like here, Josh. What do you say about this game?
Like, one coming in at 2% right now. There's no way they're under double digits tonight, I don't think. Like, this is an elite matchup. Like, they're either going to see, like, I don't know how Pitt's been matching up at home with some of their checking line injured, but, like, even if Crosby goes out against McCann Eberle, it's still a very good matchup.
There's Seattle matchup to worry about.
No. Yeah, there's no Seattle. Like, McCann Eberle, not great defensively. It just gets worse as you go down.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're getting, like, Gord Yarncrock or Wenberg Donskoy, just, like, more Pittsburgh won. Like, it just, like, this, I know Gensel burned some people and now he's more expensive, but, like, I have a hard time believing they're going to come in under 10%. This is one of my favorite spots of the night. Surprise, surprise, surprise. They are very expensive though. Maybe that does keep the ownership down. They are what, over 23K on DraftKings? Let me see. They are 23.5 on DraftKings. And the closest line after that is Calgary 1 at 19-1. So there's 4,400 between the two expensive lines. So maybe that keeps the ownership down a little bit. I don't know. But there are a lot of fillers that I like to go with Pittsburgh 1. So I feel like their ownership is going to be higher. I don't mind, you know, we got to wait on Malkin because he hopped on, hopped off. But it was optional, so we just don't know. Like, the depth of Seattle is just so bad. So, like, it too makes some sense here as well, just from a price standpoint, 13.7 in a big total. But for me, this is a Pitt one game and probably not too much on the Seattle side. Not a great matchup here.
Yeah, I am going to be out on Seattle here. The one thing I will say about the Kraken, about stacking them in this particular game, is one, they're cheap, and two, there's going to be no ownership, like none. Like there might not be 1% ownership on all four lines combined here. So if you want to use like a two-man McCann Everly or something like that, I think that's perfectly fine because they're not super expensive. Two goals might be enough to get you there for good value. So I think that's one of those like fillers, or, you know, McCann Johansson or something like that. One of those two-man fillers for more expensive stacks, but that's it for me from Seattle. On the flip side, on Pittsburgh, I understand the lack of ownership. That's kind of the same thing we see with Colorado, right? Colorado comes in at like 25K and then they're like 35% top two stack, but only like 11% ownership or something like that. And it's because they are so expensive. I think you might see like 6 or 7% on them, or even 8% or whatever, but you won't see it as a three man. Like you'll see like Crosby and Gensel in a lineup together as a two man, or Crosby and Rust or whatever. I do like all three Pittsburgh lines. I'm going to have a think about Pittsburgh one because it is a great spot. I'm not sure if I because there's only a couple lines that I really like down at that 9, 10, 11K range where I need to stack with them. So I don't know if I'm going to get to a ton of Pittsburgh. I will probably have a little couple at least, because there are a couple lines that I do like. On the blue line, not really a whole lot that's sticking out to me from either side. You mentioned Chris Letang from Pittsburgh. If you're paying up on the Seattle side, like the guys just really aren't doing anything and they're spreading out the ice time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm literally Letang or bust on either side. And I see in our chat, Saul Goodman, our friend Mr. G, says Henrique is off the IR for the Ducks. So if I had to take a conjecture on the Ducks lines, it'd be Henrique, Getzlaff, Terry, and then Zegras, Raquel, Comtois.
Yep, I like that as well. See, Mr. G mentioned Adam Henrique off IR for Anaheim. That's going to mix up their lines. So, like, we just don't know what Anaheim lines are going to be. Sorry, guys. And I see a $5 super chat from Bobby Boom. Thank you very much for the super chat, Bobby says. Single entry GPP, favorite contrarian stack tonight. I think mine, and I always go back to them because of how much I like their center. It's St. Louis 2. It's Bobby Thomas. It's Kyrou. It's Tarasenko. They're coming in with almost no ownership by our top stacks. They're not, you know, we don't have them as a monster top two stack percentage, but they're coming in with such little ownership that they're going to be in those mid-league stacks that I'm stacking here tonight. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, that's a good one. I got to see Carolina ownership, because if I guess the Aho thing kind of messes that up, huh? So, like, I know we just talk bad about them, but, like, Florida 2 coming in under 2% right now, if that sticks, I think that's fine. You know, they may bust because it is – they're 5-8, and playing against 5-8 is not great, but coming in under 2%, if that holds for that line, I think that is a good option as well.
Yep. All right, let's get to this next game. This one, the game du jour, maybe? I don't think so, but Josh might think so.
That smells good.
New York Rangers with a 3.5 implied goal total going into Columbus. The Columbus Blue Jackets have a 2.5 implied goal total. I mean, we just saw Columbus get absolutely steamrolled last night. I don't think the New York Rangers are very good. I think they're riding a goaltender and a power play, and that's basically it. Josh, talk me into playing New York Rangers here tonight.
Leading the league in goals, Chris Kreider.
Yeah, but that's like he's shooting like 23% or whatever it is.
His career rate. No, but like, listen. Rangers won, like, with Julian G up there. He's kind of like how you say with Vasily Podkolzin. He's just a shot bot. That's what he is. Like, he shoots. He doesn't score. So, like, that's what he is. I just don't know if I want to full stack anything. Like, Strom Panarin coming in over 20% with Barclay Goodrow. Like, their numbers together in the past month are so bad. So bad. And it's not Igor. So, like, if I were going to do anything on the Ranger side, it'd be power play stack. Dogs are going nuts right now for Rangers power play stacking.
There you go. I bad talk the Rangers, but the dogs know better. The dogs bark for the Rangers. There we go.
Yeah, so, like, I would do, like, you know, Mika, Kreider, Panarin, or Kreider, Panarin, Strom, something like that. Their ownership right now is really high. Like, that's what worries me. It is Korpisalo. They are on a back-to-back. You know, that top line is going to see some Patrick Kleine, which is the matchup you want to take advantage of. But, like, the Rangers are still really, really bad five-on-five team. Like, there's no way around that. So, power play or bust on the Rangers side. On the Columbus side, like, there's no ownership on Columbus here. But, like, the Rangers are a completely different team when Georgiev's in that. Like, it's just a massive, massive drop-off. So, like, you can go to Generalini. I think that's fine. They're a little expensive for my taste. I think I'm going to go to Domi, Sillinger, and Bjorkstrand for some filler stuff. Dogs just not liking Columbus, apparently, growling at the Blue Jackets. So, but for me, I'll go to some Domi, Sillinger, Bjorkstrand.
The thing that's killing me with the Rangers is Kreider and Zibanejad, since Christmas, 45% shot share, 46% of the scoring chances. That's just bad. Strom and Panarin, 40% of the shot share, 33% of the scoring chances. That's even worse. These aren't, like, obviously these are very good players, very talented players. Those are atrocious numbers, and you're telling me that one line is going to be over 20% and one line's going to be like 15%? On a 10-game slate, the Rangers are my fade. They're my fade tonight for 20 max. Like, I'm not going to be rostering any Ranger stacks here tonight. I completely understand people that will, and I understand that this will probably blow up in my face, as most calls do, but I'm not playing a 21% second line on the road on a 10-game slate. I'm sorry.
I will give a tip for the whole anyone watching right now. If Cliffy ever recommends the Rangers, full send, just lock them. It's it's very rare, but it always ends up well. So,
yeah, I would just say power play stack if you're going to do anything, because Columbus is taking a ton more of penalties. Just not a lot to like on the Columbus side. We don't even know what their lines are going to be. Obviously, they mixed them up last night. We'll see what they are at warmups. Nothing for me from the Columbus side. On the blue line, yesterday I talked about how Adam Bockvist, he said he had spent 5 days in bed with COVID, and then he comes back in his first game, posts a 9% expected goal share. Nine, not 90, not 19, nine. Got to say, can't imagine that's going to do... going to be a whole lot better here tonight. Not a whole lot I like for defensemen, honestly, in this game. I'm sure you have a different take here, but just nothing sticking out to me. Like, 4,100 Bockvist, are you absolutely kidding me?
Yeah, no, I don't want anything to do with that. Maybe some Andrew Peak or Vladislav Gavrikov for some block shots, but the Rangers, brutal 5-on-5. So I don't even know if the block shots are going to be there. On the Rangers side, like, Adam Fox, if you're power play stacking, but that's really about it. Like, Trouba's fine as a one-off, but he's into the 5Ks now. That's a little tough.
Calgary, 2.9 implied goal total. They're going into St. Louis. St. Louis Blues have a 3.2 implied goal total. It looks like it's going to be Ville Husso against Dan Vladash. Jacob Markstrom started last night for Calgary. The one guy I want to talk about right off the top is Andrew Mangiapane. They're talking about him. We were talking about him in our Discord last night. People were asking why he gets moved around the lineup. The reason is because he's the best offensive player they have, not on the top line. And it's not like, I don't even think it's close as good as Blake Coleman and Michael Backlund are. So what they do with Mangiapane is they move him wherever they think they need him on a given night. It'll be on the second line if they think they need him on the second line. It'll be the third line if they think they need him there. Or if they don't need him at all, you might even see him skate some fourth line minutes at times. So that's kind of what happens with Mangiapane, and that's why it can be frustrating to stack him with line mates at times. What do you see in this game, Josh? I see a bunch of different stackable lines, but really nothing coming in super high owned.
Yeah, I think this is an MME game for me. If I was, you know, doing 20 to 150, I'd have some of that Calgary top, like going right back to that top line for sure. They're coming in around 4 or 5%. I think that's fair. That second line coming in at 1% right now, you know, Coleman, Backlund, you know, still cheap for the two man. On the blue side, I think it is that Kyrie Thomas Tarasenko line that I would want to, you know, take some stabs on. I don't know if I'll get there in 1-3. It is a tough matchup, but it is Danville Dash and not Markstrom. So maybe they can be had there. If you want to play that third line, Sacha and Perron, I think that's okay. There's no center on that line. So that's going to be a tough build on DraftKings. But for me, Calgary 1 and the Blues 2nd line.
All right. I like Huso here tonight. I know people have talked about, in our chat, talked about rostering him. I like him as a goalie here tonight. I brought up earlier when Bobby Boom had his super chat, his $5 super chat. Thanks again, Bobby. I brought up St. Louis 2 as a stack out of this game. I still like St. Louis 2. They're going to be getting some depth matchups from Calgary. I know the depth matchups from Calgary typically have been good, but that St. Louis second line, particularly Thomas Tarasenko, have been fine together. So St. Louis 2 is about where I'm at in this game. Calgary 1, I get from a 20 max, 150 max. You definitely probably want to get 10%, 15%, what have you of those. But for me, it's about Kyrou, Thomas Tarasenko. On the blue line, there's not really anybody that sticks out here price-wise. Oliver Shillington's price came up from last night. Justin Falk in the mid-fours, I think is fine. But really, there's nobody I want to use here. Anybody stick out to you?
Not particularly. It's just price thing.
Yep. All right. We have an Osmo Hall of Fame here where we like to celebrate all of our winners. And if you'd like to get into the Osmo Hall of Fame, this is how you can do it. You download the Osmo profile pick from osmo.com/avatar. You tweet your wins, which is a top three in any contest with at least 5,000 contestants, to the Osmo Hoff account. That's Osmo HOF on Twitter. If you do all that, you can win a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. You'll see D. Lenny took down 100K in NBA. You'll see Zanye taking down split up first in NFL Showdown over on DraftKings. You'll see 8-game take down first place in NBA single entry. You'll see our buddy Jimmy taking down the nickel over on FanDuel, 23,900 entries, and he took first. First NHL takedown from Melissa, hand-built lineup. She took down the 3-max for $300. So NHL, NBA, NFL, we have you covered here at Osmo.com. Come on and get into the Osmo Hall of Fame. All right, two more games left. Let's get to this first one. Vancouver, 2.4 implied goal total going into Winnipeg. The Jets have a 3.2 implied goal total. Vancouver expecting some players back today, namely Connor Garland. So Elias Pettersson, Connor Garland, and Nils Höglander looks to be a line, along with Miller, Besser, and Pod Colson. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a line on the Vancouver side that I'm interested in playing. What do you think about this game, Josh?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I guess maybe I'd have interest in Höglander, Pettersson, Garland, but they're also three wings, so that's just really tough to build. This is not a great matchup either. Like, I know, you know, Scheifele Wheeler, just brutal 5-on-5 defensively. But, like, Jason Miller, Besser coming in around 8%. Like, nah. Like, nah. I'd rather get some of these lower-owned guys in tonight. On the Jets side, it's Connor Dubois, Perfetti for me. I know they're coming in a bit higher owned than Kopp, Scheifele, and Wheeler. But Connor Dubois, Perfetti, all on the top power play. Well, their power play unit. They kind of split the time. So Winnipeg 2 for me. If you want to go to Winnipeg 1, that's fine. You want to have a little bit of Vancouver. Sure. But, like, it's just not something I'm going to do. I'm going to fade Vancouver tonight.
Yeah, Winnipeg 2, since Cole Perfetti got there, has absolutely just blown the doors off. 64% shot share, 66% of the scoring chances. You're going to give me them with positive leverage at home to Vancouver. And Vancouver's, you know, Thatcher Demko is skating, but he's not going to play tonight. So they're still without Demko and Halak. This is their AHL goalies. Their AHL goalies at on the road, and you're going to be giving me Kyle Connor with good leverage. Thank you. On the blue line, with Morrissey out, I guess Schmidt and Pionk are the only two guys really worth playing. Is there anybody on the Vancouver side?
Not really. I mean, like, I like playing Brandon Dale unless I'm using Hellebuyck, but he's over 3K now, so probably not there. So it is going to be Schmidt if you're using the Scheifele line, or Pionk if you're using the Connor line. Or flip-flop that. I'm sorry. Schmidt if you're using the Dubois line, and Pionk if you're using the Scheifele line.
Yeah, I am not on the Scheifele line. I am personally of the opinion that I am not playing Blake Wheeler tonight. Yeah. We have a bunch of shows coming up after us. We have the Jock Market NFL Conference Championship show coming up at 3:30 Eastern with Eitan and Eric. And then your NBA double dose starts at 5:30 Eastern with Laffy and Adam. Nashville, 3.0 implied goal total. They're going into Edmonton. Edmonton Oilers have a 3.1 implied goal total. Zach Hyman, I saw, was skating earlier. I haven't seen any update as to whether he's going to be in tonight or not. I really like the Edmonton second line here tonight. Nashville takes a ton of penalties, and they don't have a very good penalty kill. So I think you're probably going to be on Edmonton too tonight, aren't you? Or at least interested.
I'm going to be on the Edmonton power play. Nashville, top three worst penalty kill in the league. You know, it is the juice, Juuse Saros in net, but you're going to give the Edmonton power play four or five chances tonight. I like my chances with Edmonton here. I think, you know, you want to go McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, Drysdale, that's fine. You can do Drysdale, Puljujarvi, McDavid. You're fine with whatever iteration, as long as you have one of the big guns in your power play stack. Evan Bouchard still running the top power play, which is very nice. So Edmonton power play for me. I also, you know, you want to go to Nashville 1. I think that's fine. They're coming in a little higher owned than I want them to. But, you know, Edmonton is Edmonton. Like, no one loves a good Twitter "here come the Oiler" gift fest like I do. So, like, I might get some Nashville 1 tonight. But for me, this is an Edmonton power play game.
Yeah, I did want to bring up Nashville 1 because I was going to play them. Like, I assumed they'd be like a 3 or 4% line or something like that tonight. It doesn't look that way. They're cheap enough where it looks like they're going to come in close to double digits. And, like, once you get to double digits on a 10-game slate and you're on the road, like, I know it's a 3 total. No problem playing with Nashville. I just think they're coming in a little too high on for my taste. Edmonton 2, 56% shot share and 54% of the scoring chances without Connor McDavid. That's, you know, just Draisaitl and Puljujärvi on that line. They've done well, and they can do a lot more damage on the power play. So, yeah, Edmonton 2, Edmonton power play, however you want to do that. That's where I'm focusing, definitely with Bouchard on the blue line. All right, we got to get out of here. Josh, I'm going to ask you for your hat trick picks. My hat trick pick, very simple, very, very expensive, though. Leon Draisaitl is my hat trick pick for tonight. In net, Ilya Sorokin, Ville Husso, Connor Hellebuyck. Who you got?
I like Juuse Saros if you're fading the Oilers. I like Hellebuyck. I like Ville Husso as well. Let me give you a spend-up option here. Robin Lehner, I think, is an interesting play.
Both the goalies in that game are over 8K, aren't they?
Yeah, Leonard's 8K. Spencer Knight's 8.1. I much prefer Leonard for getting the volume. And I'm going to go Victor Arvidsson as my hat trick pick.
Ooh, I like that. Very spicy. Some spiciness. All right. Leon Draisaitl and Victor Arvidsson are your hat trick picks for tonight. That Jock Market Conference Championship show starts in about 30 minutes or so. We will be back tomorrow with another NHL strategy show. So for Joshua Harris, for producer Mike, I'm Mike Clifford saying good luck tonight, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.